Luke chapter 11, verse 4a. This is the reading of God's Word. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that all of us will not only hear, but also understand and also believe and also obey your word. And through your word, let us meet our Lord Jesus Christ to have that sweet fellowship of heaven. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us, so that we may live according to that faith. Oh, Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we continue our study through the Lord's Prayer, and we come to verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In Matthew, we read, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, the first thing we must acknowledge as we study is that we have sinned against our God. That's the fact. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. So even as we pray this prayer, we are admitting that we have sinned against God. That is why we're asking God to forgive our sins. We must realize how great sinners that we are before God, and thus how great of forgiveness that we have received from our God. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 7, verse 47. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. So how much you love Jesus Christ depends on your realization of how great your sins are. So how much your sins are forgiven by God. If you believe that you are not a great sinner, so you were forgiven little, then Jesus says you will love him little. This is how it is. There are some people who come to church, they think that they're better than others, that they say to themselves, well, at least I don't do that. Pointing to someone else's sin. Which means then that person believes that he's not a great sinner. Which means God has forgiven him very little. That's why that person loves Jesus very little. This is what God says. Now, as you know, wage of sin is death, not just the physical death, but also the eternal death is forsaken by God forever and under the eternal torment. And that is what the hell is all about. Now, Jesus has paid this wage of sin for us in our places. He died the eternal death for us in our places. His death on the cross is for our sins. It is for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew 26, verse 28b, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Well, we pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive anyone who is indebted to us." Now, if you read it on the surface, it sounds like us forgiving other people's sins is the basis of our sins being forgiven by God. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says it this way, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Luke chapter 6, verse 37b says, "Pardon, and you will be pardoned." So it sounds like our forgiving others is prerequisite for God forgiving us. And question is this what the Bible is teaching? And answer, as you know, is no. That is not what the Bible is teaching. But it sounds just like it. Well, this is how God wrote His Word. Let me say this first. There is only one reason, and one reason only, why our sins are forgiven by God. Because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. That's it. That's the only reason why God would forgive anybody's sin. It's not because you forgave others, or it's not because you repented, or it's not because you are asking for forgiveness. No. If Jesus did not die for our sins, then no matter how many times we forgive others, or no matter how many times we repent, our sins will never be forgiven. So this is the first thing we must understand. Even though it sounds like if we forgive someone, then God will forgive us, as if we forgiving someone is prerequisite to God forgiving us. But God forgiving your sins is not because you did whatever. It's only because Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's it. So that's the very first thing we must understand. However, as we have told you many times, when the Bible describes our salvation, it describes it from the perspective of men, in terms of how men experience their salvation, rather than the perspective from the perspective of God. This is how the Bible is written. God says, "Believe, then you will be saved." Now, it sounds like our faith, believing, is before the salvation. But we know that that is not so. But this is how God wrote His Bible. We need to understand what God is doing. He's writing it in perspective of men, in terms of how we experience. But we know that when it is written in God's perspective, God has to save us first, then we're going to believe. But this is always the case. When you read the Bible, you might, you know, understand Bible in an Arminian way. And sometimes, I desire God would write it in a much more clear way so that there will be no one who will understand it in an Arminian way. But see, God has said that unless God blesses you, even though you read it, you're not going to understand. And even though you see it, you're not going to see. Even when you hear it, you're not going to hear. This is how God wants it. So with that sinful heart, you read the Bible, you're going to think, hey, this is what God says. And it's in Armenian way. But no, you got to look at the whole Bible. God says, believe, then you will be saved. But which is first? Faith or salvation? We know that salvation is first. We believe because we are now new creation. We believe because we are saved. The reality of our sin being forgiven by God is witness in us forgiving the sins of others. Whatever we do flow out of what God has done and what He has accomplished for us. God has to make us as His people who is able to do these things first. Then, when He commands us, we will be able to do them. If God does not do His work first, then we will never be able to do anything that will please God. I give you this example all the time. God says to dead Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. Who is lying in a tomb? God says to him, get up and come out. Now, think about that situation. Lazarus is dead. Dead Lazarus cannot just get up and come out. Why? Because he's dead. See, people think that when Jesus says, hey, Lazarus, come out, get up and come out. And dead Lazarus somehow hears Jesus and he gets up, even though he's dead, and he comes out. No, that's not what happened. How could that happen? And yet people think like that. Because they don't really think. Dead Lazarus cannot hear Jesus nor be able to get up and come out, but he does. Why? Because with that command, Jesus has already made him alive. Jesus has made him alive already. So Jesus made him into someone who is now able to hear Jesus and who is now able to get up and come out. If I truly forgive, true forgiveness by faith, you know, we're not talking about forgiveness that even non-Christians say they do. You know, they forgive other people too. But that has nothing to do with faith. That's not Christian forgiveness. So when I'm talking about, you know, we truly forgive, I'm talking about Christian forgiveness. Forgiveness by faith. So if I truly forgive, then it means that God has already forgiven my sins and gave me the mind of Christ and gave me the faith. Thus, I am now witness that reality by forgiving other people. Lazarus comes out witnessing that Jesus has saved him. Jesus had made him alive even before he could hear and get up and come out. Otherwise, how could he do that? We were dead in sin. Spiritually, we're dead. We cannot just come to Christ on our own strength. God had to make us alive first. So salvation is before faith. Even though God says, believe, then you will be saved. This is just how God writes things. You just have to understand that. So all the verses that we have read already, how God says you have to forgive others, then God will forgive you. We must understand those verses in terms of the other verses in the Bible. Bible has to interpret the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 says, forgive each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here it is very clear that Jesus forgiving us is prior to us forgiving others. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We find the same thing there. We have been forgiven of our sins already. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 through 14, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you already have forgiveness of sins. But you have to witness that that is your reality by forgiving others. Because if you don't forgive others, then only thing that you show is that you, your sins were never forgiven. See, we have been already rescued and transferred. It is not that we must do something first, then we will be rescued and transferred. That is not what the Bible says. We forgive others to witness the reality in which our sins are already forgiven by our God. Thus, Christians not forgiving others is nonsense. Oh, there are some people who go to church and say, oh, I can't forgive that person. I'm not going to forgive that person. And if you continue in that state, ultimately, you're not going to forgive that person. Then that just shows that God never forgiven your sins. That's why you don't do it. Because once God forgives you, then you understand His love for you. And that love will compel you to do His will. In this case, to forgive other people's sins. Matthew 18 verse 23, this is kind of a long passage, but let's read the whole thing, it's important. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he has owed. So when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came to reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I have mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturer until he should pay all that he was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same for you, same to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. I mean, it's obvious, right? You owe million
And the person says, okay, you don't have to pay. But you meet your friend who owes you $5 and you don't forgive that. How ridiculous is that? God forgave all your sins. And you turn around and you don't forgive your friend who sinned much less to you than you sin against God? Absurd. It's just nonsense. But that's what you're doing if you don't forgive other people. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you, Jesus says. So, if someone does not ultimately forgive others, that person only witnesses that his sins are not forgiven by God. Which is nonsense, so another way of put that is that you do forgive other people. Period. Thus, God's word says that if you do not forgive, your sins will not be forgiven by God. That's what God is saying. Because if you don't forgive, that shows that your sins were never forgiven. Which means God will not forgive your sins. Which means you're not even saved. So he could actually say this, and he's not saying falsehood. He's saying, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. He could actually say that because if you include a couple more steps in between, then it makes sense. What God is saying is actually true. In other words, the one who believes that his great sin has been forgiven by God cannot not forgive the sins of others. Our salvation does not end with our sins being forgiven by God, but it goes all the way to us forgiving the sins of others. Yeah, so many Christians talk about how their sins are forgiven, but that's not the end of Christianity. It doesn't end there. You got to go further and forgive other people's sin. But it is just obvious because it is being just like Jesus Christ. He forgave the people who were crucifying him. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and we are to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. See, he's imitating his Lord, Jesus Christ. Even people were stoning him, he said, forgive them. And it is not that the people we forgive are worthy of our forgiveness. That's not what I'm saying. You might even say to me, man, you know, you don't know what he did to me. And if you know what he did to me, you would agree that I cannot forgive this guy. That might be so. But you don't deserve Jesus' forgiveness, and yet he forgave you. So it's not about being deserving the forgiveness. God forgave us who do not deserve His forgiveness. Now, to forgive our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. See, ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Everyone, God said. God commands us to forgive everyone. And also we say, forgive us our sins. Sins not just of my sin, but all the brothers and sisters' sin. You are actually praying for other people. That's how the Lord's Prayer is designed. We pray to God, forgive us our sins. We are in this thing together. Again, I say Christianity is never about individual. It's all of us together. So even when you pray, you are mindful of your brothers and sisters. That's how we must pray. You're not just praying for yourself. That's not Christian. You never see that in the Bible. When you see Jesus praying or Paul praying, they're always praying for other people. They're not praying for themselves. You know, you know, even Paul writing the letter from prison, he never asked God to let me get out of the prison. He doesn't even ask anything for himself. He always prays for other people. This is Christian prayer. And when I say other people, I'm not talking about your wife or your husband or your kids or your mom. That's still you. We are asking God to forgive all the sins of our brothers and sisters, and we are to forgive the sins of others continually. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77, 70 times seven. 490 times. Yeah, if you could forgive one sin 490 times, it means what? Just continually forgive that person. Even though that person might sin against you, the same sin over and over and over again, you continue to forgive. See, this is why Christian life is impossible. This is why we need to live by faith. Without faith, how are you going to obey these things? Oh, if I just read this verse and say, yeah, go out and forgive 490 times. Well, you go, amen, and you're going to do it? Maybe like first time, maybe you're trying to do it, but second time, forget it. 490 times? Nah. This is why only way you're going to obey is by faith. And when you obey by faith, meaning that you believe that Jesus Christ has done it for you, that understanding, that belief, that faith will make you forgive other people. It's only by faith. Not by your determination, not by you saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to do it this time. No, it's not going to work. Now, this prayer will be perfectly answered when Jesus comes, he comes back, to visibly consummate our eternal home, heaven. We will perfectly forgive all the sins of our brothers and sisters in heaven, that we will not even remember those sins anymore. And even now, we are to witness that reality by faith, always remembering that Jesus Christ has already accomplished this heavenly reality, spiritually, of course. But just as all the other requests in the Lord's Prayer, this prayer is also a prayer of seeking our Lord Jesus Christ. It is seeking His return to us. Only Jesus has accomplished this already, and only Jesus will visibly consummate this. Now, I'm going to go a little bit faster because I have conclusion. It's quite long. But this conclusion is very, very important for all of us to understand. So listen very carefully to this conclusion. As the conclusion, we ask this question. As we pray this prayer, what reality of heaven does Jesus Christ wants us to witness? Now, what is true of us in heaven right now, that as we pray this, we are witnessing that reality? Now, before we say that, we need to do something here. It says, forgive our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. See, Bible describes our sins as also debts. See, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 has the prayer, the Rose Prayer, like this. And forgive us our debts as we have already forgiven our debtors. So when we see sins as debts, like what Bible does, and the context of Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God and hearing Jesus telling to forgive others, other people's debts to us, we cannot help but to think about the Jubilee of the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8 through 11. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of year, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad and the 10th of day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. So here, God says, count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7, meaning 49 years, and the Day of Atonement for that 50th year, you sound the horn, because that 50th year is the year of Jubilee, and the sins of God's people are forgiven with the sound of horn. Because that is on the Day of Atonement. And the debts of God's people are forgiven. Also, people's debts to each other are also forgiven. So land, the house, the family. You know, if during those 50 years, maybe you didn't manage your property properly, so you ran out of money, so you have to go to some other people's property to be a slave. But on that 50th year, you come back your home. Everything goes back to original owners. This is the year of Jubilee. They are to proclaim the release and begin the new beginning. Every 50 years, they did this. And by doing so, they are proclaiming that all belongs to God. But in Luke chapter 4, we saw this before, Jesus proclaimed that the eternal jubilee has been accomplished by him. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogues were focused on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What Jesus is proclaiming is that eternal year of the release has been accomplished. The release. The release from the world and sin. The eternal perfect year of the Jubilee has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if what Jesus Christ has accomplished is the eternal Jubilee, then we must forgive the debts of each other to everybody. Because that was what Jubilee was all about. And Jesus Christ has accomplished eternal Jubilee and you're now living through it. So you understand what has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And what heavenly reality that you belong to right now. Through Jesus' death on the cross, all our sins, all our debts are forgiven by God. The eternal Jubilee, year of the Jubilee has come and eternal day of the atonement has come. Then what must we do? Well, we need to forgive all the debts. We need to forgive all the sins. Not to do so is to deny what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we must believe that our heavenly reality in which all our sins are forgiven by God and in which the eternal year of the Jubilee has come. And we witness that reality by forgiving all the debts, all the sins of all people. To show that new beginning has already begun. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23, therefore if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. In today's language, before you worship, you must forgive all the sins of your brothers and sisters. You must do this if we believe what Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. You know, how can you sit there, have some grudge against your brother or sister, and you say, we worship you as one body? You can't do that. And if you understand that eternal Jubilee has already accomplished, then you have to forgive the debt that somebody owes you. Meaning, you forgive their sins. In heaven, we will forgive all the sins of our brothers and sisters. Now, Bible does not command us to forgive the sins of others because doing so is morally right. This is not Christian. Even if you go out and talk to non-Christian and say, oh, we should forgive other people's sin, they go, yeah, we should. That's not what we're talking about. We don't do this because it's morally right thing to do. No, the Bible commands us to understand and believe what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished. What kind of heavenly reality has been accomplished. Bible wants you to believe that eternal Jubilee has been accomplished. And if this is true, then what you need to do? What? You need to forgive other people's sin. You need to forgive other people's debt. It has nothing to do with morals of this world. It's about faith. It's about what you believe. And what you believe Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for you. We need to live by faith. If we believe that the eternal Jubilee has come, then how can we not forgive? Can you imagine during Old Testament Jubilee? The Israelites refusing to return all the properties and land to the original owner. Can you even picture Israelites doing that at the year of the Jubilee? But if you do not forgive others, that's exactly what you're doing right now. Through what our Lord Jesus has done and accomplished, we are no longer the debtors to God, but we are the inheritors of God's eternal inheritances. And do you see how the new beginning has begun in Jesus Christ? So, brothers and sisters, let us forgive others to witness that new beginning, the heavenly beginning. There's much more to say, but let us stop here and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what your Son has accomplished for us. And we thank you for your word that tells us what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. And if he did all this, then we have become your people, the citizens of your kingdom. Our heavenly reality has been already begun. So Father, let us live by faith. Live according to who we have become in Jesus Christ. And live according to the reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Let us live by faith. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.